Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
We thank you all for joining us on this Thursday morning for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And we'll be joining Dr. Debbie Green live, and if you want to join us live on Facebook, simply go to Dr. Debbie Green, go to Soulful Solutions on Facebook, and Dr. Debbie Green will be there with her smiling face, and you can be a part of this conversation as we talk about the issues that affect our perceptions about relationships. We're taking a look at what happens when you've been led on in a relationship. Have you put your interest and time in someone and later realized that the person was a master emotional manipulator? It's a painful experience to have when you thought it was love, and for you it was, and for them it wasn't. This is what's called breadcrumbing, of romantically leading someone on without any clear plans to pursue the relationship. There are damaging effects on the psyche and emotions after this great deception. So we're going to talk about that today. Deception can be a very painful experience, and it can leave lifelong scars emotionally. So for those who have experienced breadcrumbing, those who have been deceived in a relationship, those who are feeling the pain of a broken heart, we want you to listen in and call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 and perhaps share your story. Today's the day you can get a bit of counseling with Dr. Debbie Green, especially if you are still in pain from such a relationship. And again, we urge you to join Dr. Debbie Green live on Facebook as we take a look at this very painful experience of breadcrumbing. And if you have felt that you have been deceived by someone that you thought you loved, then this is the show for you. Because the anger that you feel is something that will keep you in a state of trauma until you can release it, let it go, and forgive. And that's always the objective, especially when you are striving to achieve things in life and you find yourself stuck in that state of pain and anger and hurt and regret. And if you can't get unstuck, then your life will remain at a level of struggle emotionally where you're not able to form healthy relationships. Because what sets in is fear and suspicion and doubt. And so you learn not to ever trust, and you learn to generalize, believing that no one is worthy of trust. And when that sets in, fear. So let's join Dr. Debbie Green on Soulful Solutions. And again, we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And of course, we appreciate all of you who are ready to join this conversation. And let's see here. Grand Rising.
Grand Rising, everyone. Welcome, welcome to Soulful Solution. And I was giving a little pep talk on my Facebook viewers. So while I'm doing that, I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, say a little something before we get started, because this particular topic is very interesting. But I want to actually say to my listeners, how are you today? How are you really?
How are you? Good question.
You know, how did you sleep last night? How did you wake up this morning? You know, a lot of times we don't often check our being, check our beings and find out where's my mind, where's my heart, you know, what's my physical state, how's my spirit. We just get up and we run into life, just like going through our open door, you know, not even realizing that the being saying, well, what about me? What about me? I know you're going to your job. I know you taking care of your children. I know you are doing all these things on the outside of yourself, but what about me? So I just want you to take a moment in your day. You got 24 hours in your day. Out of those 24 hours, how much time do you take for yourself? And I'm not talking about just beating your body or just drinking something if you want to, you know, quench your thirst. I'm talking about your inner man. How much time do you spend with him or her? Well, I just want to let you know that it's time to do that. We're coming up on a new year really, really soon. And, you know, resolutions should be done yearly, all year, as far as I'm concerned, not just at the beginning. But make time for yourself. Make time for you. Because without you, you can't take care of anyone. You can't do anyone. You can't show up on the job. You can't do anything outside of yourself if you're not in your proper posture of life. Not just surviving or existing, but living. I just wanted to say that. Okay, well, our topic today is breadcrumbing. You're like, what is that? What is breadcrumbing? Well, there is such a term, and I want to give you the proper definition of what it is, and then I'm going to give you, you know, Dr. Deb's spin on that. You know, one thing about breadcrumbing is it's been around since eons. It's been something that has been done for a very, very long time. And most people do it unknowingly. And some people do it, you know, on purpose. On purpose. And one thing about the master manipulating, some people are very good at that. They're very good at manipulating, not just in their workplace or in business deals, but also in relationships. So what is that? How could that work? You know, but what I'm saying is, what harm does it do? Well, I'm here to tell you, it does a lot of harm. Especially if that person is already broken. You know, if that person is going through some major, major changes in their life previously, if they came from other failed relationships over and over again, it just causes major psychological, emotional damage. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. It's not their fault that they're being manipulated, or it's not the fault of the manipulator. It's the situation that just happened. Well, think about this. If a person is in a weakened state, how do you think they can actually realize what's happening to them? They can't. It's very difficult to realize when you're hurting and you're in pain. And again, you know, you're not blaming anyone, but at the same token, it is when you have to make a decision at that point. Because most of the times you don't really realize you're being manipulated until it's too late. And then all the time, the quality time that you put into this individual, you just feel like you're used and you're broken down. So this is the term. It is a actual event or relationship romantically where one person emotionally leads another person. going. So that's why it's called breadcrumbing. It's like you're just dropping bits and pieces to keep a person just looking forward to something, but you're not giving anything. Now, you may have found yourself in a position like this, and you may not have. You know, a lot of people experience this, especially when they are a little less vulnerable. And sometimes people do this to use other people for whatever means. So different factors with this, but it's never the right thing to do. Never the right thing to do. It can cause major damage to the point where that person becomes mentally ill. They can go into depression if they were already mentally damaged. They can also become very extremely angry. If they were in failed relationships previously that they felt taken advantage of, they could, it's a lot of things that they could do if they're not stable-minded, okay? So this act of romantically leading something on, now romantically, that means there is some type of intimacy in this relationship, and they are pouring out, you know, that the person that is being manipulated is pouring out way more than the person that's doing the manipulation. So this is the after effects. Once this happens and the person then, actually the ones who the manipulatee that's being manipulated, they can have episodes of emotional rumination that can lead to self-blame and self-guilt. Like, what's wrong with me? Why don't they love me? Why can't I be loved? And they start self-defeating. And if they are unhealthy mentally, they will start self-sabotaging, even self-destruction. So it can go down many, many pathways. But I want you to be aware of the manipulator. So I want to give you some tips on how to beat him or her at their own game.
You know, when you describe such a person and what they do, I'm reminded of a conversation we had on one of our men-only discussions, one of the earlier ones when the men were kind of revealing how they had been trained, you know, guided, encouraged by the older men in their lives to be this predatory male. You know, how do you romance a woman? You know, how do you seduce her? And the whole thing was about getting sex, which for them it was like a game. But as you just described, this is devastating. And when a person is, you have one person that's sincerely trying to establish a sincere relationship and a bond with someone, and another one who's just basically playing a game in order to get the goal, which is the sexual intimate experience and the physical pleasure and everything that comes with that, that's a kind of cruel game that we have experienced for too long, and not being able to teach the consequences to the person that is the perpetrator of the game. And I'm not picking on men, because I've seen the flip side. I've had female friends that brag about how they were able to, you know, charm a man out of his money, and he's buying them all these things, hoping that there's going to be something there. And then, you know, when they get done using him, they just, you know, dump him. And they're laughing about that. So it's the same cruelty. And people don't think about what they're doing to the human being that they have used. It's a very a very insensitive way of getting what you want out of someone without really giving anything but the promise of, like you say, breadcrumbs. You know, I'm just leading you on and yeah. playing on your hopes. And then one day you realize your hopes are not going to be realized. That person's gone, and you put so much into them with the hope. And when I see this happen, I realize that the person who is the manipulator, they don't see the other person's point of view. They don't see the side of the person that they're using. They don't feel the pain that they're causing. They don't empathize. And that's what's missing, the empathy of how you're making someone else feel. Because for them, it's just a game. And I'm sure we'll go into what produces that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually what they're trying to do is keep themselves from being hurt. So now I'll turn it into a game. And therefore, you can't hurt me because I'm not really emotionally invested in this. I'm just able to use your emotions to get what I want. But you're not going to be able to hurt me because I'm really not into you. And that's the pain that is caused. And I was telling an associate the other day, you know, who was talking about, oh, this cute, because, you know, her son was, you know, teenager, and, you know, girls find him attractive. Oh, he's going to be such a heartbreaker. Oh, he's got all these girls chasing after him. He's going to be such a heartbreaker. And I'm like, why are you proud of that? People can actually die from a broken heart. So that is not something that you would want to be proud of, that he's able to have all these girls chase after him and do things for him because they want him and all of that. That's a cruel way to be as a human being, when you use people's emotions just to get what you want, and you don't care that they really cared about you. And when you get done using them, you dump them like garbage. That's not how you treat another human being. So maybe as we talk, we'll learn how to teach our children not to do that to people, and how to get over it if it's been done to us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. You know, our healthy mindsets come with healthy lifestyle. So one should be aware of their actions that affect another human being. So I want to give some early warning signs. According to the research published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health, typical signs of breadcrumbing include the following: foreign enthusiasm to meet up but never seriously following through with the plans by pinning down exact dates or coming up with new dates in the case of a rain check.
Mm.
So someone's telling you, you're like, yeah, we're going to get together, we're going to meet you, but then it never happens.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, and they'll come up with an excuse. Oh, it was because I had to go and work early.
Mm.
So I couldn't meet you. Oh, I had to take my mother to the grocery store, so I couldn't meet you. But we'll meet up next week.
Mm.
So you constantly go through this pattern of, you know, situational circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is talking about shared interests to show a sense of connection. So the commonality. Oh yeah, we have this in common. I like to go, you know, to play bowling. So do you? You know, because they want you to know that they are, you know, very compatible with you. So they're talking about their shared interests, so you can sense and show a connection. The next one is dropping small bits of text, often in the forms of sharing memes or social media posts, to maintain a slim balance, spending too much time and effort.
Mm.
So what they do, they communicate with you through your Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
They communicate through it. They'll send you a text in the morning with a smiley face just to keep you going. The next one is sending small bits of communication and disappearing temporarily without any explanation to show a sense of falsehood that something serious is on the horizon.
Ah.
think this is a very interesting one. So you're giving me bits and pieces when you just didn't show up. You disappeared. I haven't heard from you in, 4 or 5 days. But then you'll send me a text 4 days later. Oh, hello, how are you?
And you're thinking, oh, were they thinking about me? Maybe they were thinking about me. Oh, okay, well, maybe they are interested. getting your hopes up again.
Right. As soon as you think, oh, they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, and this is, please understand, this is after the romance.
Mm-hmm.
It's after that meet and greet when sexual possibilities or intimacy has already been established.
Mm-hmm. And okay. It, this is unfortunate. It's unfortunate that people go through this after they feel like they've shared such an intimate part of themselves, and
yes.
They thought that experience of sharing the intimacy was a bond for both of them, and it wasn't in the mind of the other person.
Correct. Yes. The next one here, it says, texting based on convenience.
Mm.
And indicating an interest in hooking up but not spending non-physical time together.
That should tell you something. When somebody can come by for sex, but they don't really have conversation for you, or they don't want to, they don't want to hear about what you got to say. They don't want to, just sit around and watch a movie or anything. They come,
no,
they're sex,
time.
They leave, and that's it. No quality time. So
it's just booty call.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
And you're hoping that it's going to evolve into something else, and it doesn't. And like you say, you start thinking, well, what's wrong with me? Well, maybe I'm not interesting enough. Maybe I'm not pretty enough. What am I doing wrong? All those things, instead of realizing they never intended for it to be anything other than what it was.
Exactly. The next part I want to go over is, this is very similar to gaslighting. And gaslighting is the same type of where a person will tell you something, but they never do it. And then when you remind them of it, I didn't say that.
I know y'all have been through that.
She
was trying to make you think you crazy.
I didn't tell y'all was going to meet you there. Yes, you did. You said that last week. You said that Monday. And
I didn't tell you that. I didn't say that.
Wednesday. Oh, I don't remember saying that.
Makes you want to walk around with a tape recorder. Let me just push
record
every time you speak so I can run it back.
Lies. Okay, this is a part of that scenario. They call it the blood crumbing blur. Okay, your sense of reality makes you doubt your own and their personal perspective. So it's like you literally think that you're losing your reality,
mm-hmm.
and they do it so often to you, and you're like, I know I'm not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not crazy. I'm not going to allow this to get into my head. That's a good rationale, but some people are in a weakened emotional mental state to where they get manipulated.
Because you never really processed the last relationship that ended painfully, so you don't see the signs that you're repeating the cycle. And that's why when you come out of a relationship, if you jump right back into something else, you don't see your own weak spots.
Right.
And so you end up being manipulated. We got a caller, but we got to take a break. And when we come back, maybe we can take area code 706 and get some of their thoughts. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts as we talk about breadcrumbing. We'll be right back, so stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood
with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Direct and call them out. Okay? Now, some people have problems with confrontation, and I understand that. Some people have problems with being assertive, so it may come out passive-aggressive. It may even come out aggressive, you know. But I would advise and suggest that you come out assertively. And it's because that you would get more communication clarity if you're not screaming and yelling, oh, how could you use me? What kind of person are you?
Well, you know, sometimes, and I've seen that method used that you just demonstrated, the confrontation, angry person, and you know that doesn't go well. All you get is denial on the other part. But then I've also seen where people are, they're frustrated about the situation, but they're too afraid to confront it because of their own self-esteem issues. They're afraid that the person will say, well, you know, I really don't like you that much, or you know, you're not attractive to me, or you're not pretty enough. Whatever they fear is their deficiency. They're afraid that if they mention that this person isn't spending much time with them, then that will come out, and then they will feel even worse. But they will complain to everybody else, oh, you know, he does this to me, or she does that to me. But they won't confront the person because of their fears. So how do they address that? Well, when you say be assertive, how does a person recognize when something inside them won't allow them to assert themselves because of their low self-esteem?
Well, that's because you said it just like you said. You know, low self-esteem is, it makes it hard for one to confront a situation and to express their feelings, think of what they feel, especially when it's a hurting or, you know, offending, disappointing situation. You know, they become passive aggressive. So it's a good chance that person will stay in that relationship longer than a person that is not passive aggressive. You know, because of their suppression, their habits of dealing with life.
So
it's unfortunate. Well, that's what I'm saying. Because if a person is straightforward or direct, and you may see, I mean, in a short period of time, I mean, not saying that that manipulator may start manipulating, but then they get caught in their tracks, which is within the first, you know, week or whatever the case may be, a very short period of time. But then a person that is low self-esteem and low self-confidence will find themselves in that position for like months, maybe even years.
And they may give the person a silent treatment when they're angry, but they never really say anything, and they just still keep taking the
bad
treatment.
They think that this is an issue with them. They're not looking at the issue with the other person, and they just allow their behavior. And a lot of times, if things start off like that, and when the manipulator, if that person is a batterer, you know, if they're emotionally abused, sometimes those traits of narcissism, because narcissism is a part of gaslighting, and a narcissist can be very emotionally damaging to another human being. So it takes its toll on you, and you may not recognize the damage until after the damage is done.
So what happens with a person that is in fear that this dysfunctional relationship will end, and it's the only relationship they have, and so because they lack self-esteem, they hold on to it anyway, and they won't confront the person out of fear that, well, if I make them mad, then they'll leave me, and then I'll have nobody. What happens when people are stuck at that point? Because they think, I need this person for my self-esteem, even though they're treating me badly.
Well, that's a no-brainer right there, Naima. They're going to be miserable.
So it's a decision to stay in your misery. Basically, that's what that is. Because you think, well, if I say something, then I might lose them.
Right. If you don't have self-compassion for yourself, you'll find yourself accepting things in life that are very harming to you.
Yes.
Because you don't take the time to, you know, or be to have the self-awareness, like, this is really damaging. And so you literally accept damage. You accept damage as a functionality of your life, which is a dysfunction. And everyone else can say, oh, he's treating you like terrible. Oh, she's using you. But you, no, you don't see that.
You don't want to.
And even if you, right, you don't want to see it. Even if it's there, you try not to put the emphasis on it. And then what, unfortunately, if that person is very weak in status and has a, you know, a, what they call a self-defeating mindset, self-sabotage, they would, when they do wake up, if they do wake up to acknowledge that this person has been hurting me all the time, rage can set in and somebody could get hurt.
I can imagine that. You know, I remember years ago hearing a, actually it was a public address by an author of a book, and he talked about how he learned from his uncle how to spot women with low self-esteem and use them. And basically, you know, don't go after, he was taught, don't go after the real, you know, pretty ones. Go after the ones that, you know, maybe a little overweight, you know, maybe kind of homely. And they'll be grateful for your attention. And so you give them all this attention and they, you know, make them feel good and everything. And then you can get them to do anything for you because they're so grateful that you are giving them attention.
Yes.
And that was how he was taught, you know, to spot the ones that don't feel good about themselves, and, you know, they'll give you money, they'll give you their cars, they, you know, just do everything for you because they didn't feel like they were worthy of a good relationship anyway. So here you are giving them attention, you know, telling them they're beautiful and all this stuff they're not hearing, and you can pretty much do whatever you want with these women because, you know, they don't, they got low self-esteem. So he was talking about how he was taught that, and that stuck with me because I'm thinking, wow, people really need to realize what they're projecting about themselves.
Yeah.
And being so eager to please that you go above and beyond what someone has deserved from you. And then when they start to treat you kind of bad, you look at yourself and think, well, maybe it's me, and so you're trying even harder to hold on to them, and it's all a game, very calculated.
Yeah. Exactly. It is. But one thing I want to mention is once you catch on to someone, okay, and you call them out and call them out what they're doing, you want to point out several things. This is when now you're going to show this person, it shows them that you are aware of what is happening and that you are not gullible for the manipulative tactics. Like, you know, hey, I see you. I know you told me this and you did that. I'm totally aware. You know, I'm not going to just sit here and act like I don't know. You know, I am totally aware of what you're doing. And it also sends the breadcrumb a clear signal that you have the ability to stand up for yourself. So now they, you know, they got to change their tactic. They can't use that same old, you know, reaction or behavior or action, you know, to manipulate you. They got to do something different now. It also gives the breadcrumb the opportunity to be authentic and to share any personal concerns that they might be getting, you know, far as, okay, well, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I was, you know, not doing it correctly. I did say that. I mean, it gives an opportunity to come clean if that's what they want to do. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes after you point it out, that person gets angry because now they don't have any more control over you. So they started feeling frustrated. Sometimes they even spiral out of control if they're one of those type of individuals. And then, going to keep communicating, or they're just shutting down and disappear completely.
Wow.
So it can be very serious. So your goal as the person, like in the relationship, to look for a healthy relationship. You should always, you know, be emotionally available for yourself in a relationship. So that means I am sensing, I am feeling whatever that is about this person, and go and let that person know what you feel, but it's not so much, oh, I love you, I can't live without you.
Mm. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
You may not want to come out that strong.
Yeah, and you know, I think that sometimes that's what people feel like they should do, is make the person that they're confronting feel the desperation that they feel. But if you're feeling desperation, you go, oh yeah, you can't leave me, oh, what I'm going to do, I'll die without you, and you think that you're clinging to them like that is going to make them stay with you, it doesn't. That's frightening.
No. Yes.
And you got to look at, why do you need another person so badly? No one needs anyone, but if in your mind you have been attached to this person because they're your lifeline to your own self-esteem and sense of self-worth, and your thought is, oh, if you leave me, I'll die. Well, no, you won't. But if you think, if you say that, that's going to make them stay with you, no, it isn't. It will make them figure out, how can I get rid of this nutcase? So that's desperation is not what you want to project. And as you're saying, Dr. Debbie, having self-confidence, where you can be assertive, and you are saying with an assertive voice, is saying that I know I deserve better. When you're saying, oh, I can't live without you, that doesn't say I know I deserve better treatment. That's
right.
That's not showing someone who is confident in themselves, and it's like, I can live with you or without you, and I'm not going to live with you, I'm not going to be with you if you're treating me badly. But
exactly.
I expect anyone who I allow this level of intimacy in my life to perform at a higher standard. And if that's not what we have, then, you know, I need to leave. And you got to, if you're, I can't leave you, I don't leave me, then you can't have that confidence to say that.
You're right. You absolutely. I think to have a safe communication style, you know. You can say, you know, I sense that what you're looking for may be quite different from my expectation. I'm looking for something serious and long-term. I would like to work on building a stable relationship. How about you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's not stable, okay? It's not stable, and you just want to let them know that this is not stable. And I'm not going to be a part of this on an ongoing, constant thing. You know, I'm just here when you want me.
Yeah, it's your convenience. You know?
No,
yeah.
We're not going to do that. Remember your words and know when it's time to move on.
Absolutely, and I think that's probably the difficult thing. Especially if someone has, as you said, poured a lot of themselves into what they thought was a growing relationship, what they thought was going to be something special. It's like gambling. When you put a lot of money in and you start winning, and then you keep gambling and you start losing, and then you keep gambling hoping to win again, and then you keep losing, and you don't want to just let it go. You don't want to cut your losses. You keep feeling like, well, I've invested so much, that I don't want to end up with a loss. So you keep on playing, and then you keep on losing. And then the more you lose, the more you put more money in, because you don't want to have invested all of that and it be lost. So you just keep on gambling until you've lost everything, justifying it, but I can't lose because I put too much into it already.
Right.
And it's the same thing with a relationship that's bad, that you've invested a lot of yourself into, and rather than cut your losses, you keep putting more more into it, hoping that eventually you'll be winning again.
Yes, yes. That is the goal, is to win in a relationship. But again, if it's dysfunctional, there's not much you're going to be able to do but make a choice. See, the stain is in the dysfunction. Are you going to move yourself into a safety area? You know, but where is it written down that I got to be unhappy for you to be happy? No, that's not a good law in your life, you know. And a lot of people are. They're unhappy to make their spouses, their boyfriends, or whoever.
Yeah, I'll accept that this is what
happy.
I'm supposed to do, as long as you're happy. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
that's some conditioning that women have had for centuries.
Yeah.
You're not in it for you to be happy. Your job is to make him happy. That's your role in life. And we've accepted that thought. And a lot of cultures have accepted that idea. That, well,
yes.
you know, a good wife just, you know, swallow it, suck it up. You know, be there for your husband. It doesn't matter if you're happy. Make sure he's happy.
Exactly.
To
exactly.
That's
but you got to honor yourself.
Honor yourself.
You have to honor yourself.
Honor yourself.
Honoring yourself is allowing yourself to, again, take care of you. You take care of you. You're the only one, really, that knows what you need. You just, and if you don't know the answer to that question, that means you weren't paying attention to yourself.
Mm.
That's what that is. Remember, we often give everything outside of ourselves to people, places, situations, circumstances. But when we give something ourselves, we feel foreign with that.
Yeah.
When we're doing something for ourselves. I once had a client that tells me, I don't do anything for me. I only do it for other people. I said nothing.
But they were taught that was somehow, you know, spiritually superior or something, you know, that to be self-sacrificing. Yeah.
That's what they thought it was.
Yeah.
And I told them and I convinced them, no, it's not selfish to do things for yourself.
Right.
To make your own decisions not based upon what someone else thinks of you.
Yeah.
I said it's called selfness.
Mm.
That's the ability to give yourself the permission to take care of yourself on a higher level. Because there's enough people destroying themselves. You don't want to fall in that beaten path, you know, of self-destruction, self-criticism, self-harm. Because when I destroy someone else, I'm destroying myself.
You know, I have seen people, and it's like they've been conditioned since childhood to be that person that is so neglectful of themselves. You know, I've had friends who maybe they were the eldest child in the family, and they were the ones that the parents kind of dumped on. Okay, you take care of all your brothers and sisters. Okay, you do all the work. Okay, you do all this. And so they've been used to just doing it and not questioning the fairness of it. And so they become an adult, and then they get in a relationship where they're the same thing. You know, everybody in the household just goes about their business and it leaves the house a mess, and you do all the work, and you know, you work in your job, you work in the house, you're angry about it, but you just suck it up, and you're just angry all the time and miserable, but you don't fix it, you don't confront it, you don't make people responsible. You've been conditioned to just accept being dumped on.
That's right. Just
so
take it.
How does a person get out of that pattern where you've kind of been programmed to allow people to treat you badly, and you never learned to speak up for yourself because, like you say, the thought was planted, oh, this is being selfish. How does a person undo that programming that allows them to take mistreatment?
Well, that sounds like someone really needs therapy, okay, especially
therapy.
If this is something that's been going on, because I have a client that lives with her mother, and her mother is verbally assaultive, emotionally abusive,
mm-hmm.
okay? And when I say verbally assaultive, she calls everything but the...
Yeah.
And it's on a regular bit, and it's been like that all her life.
Mm.
And this young lady is about... she's 28 years old.
Oh, wow.
So all her life she's been dealing with the same patterns. verbal abuse. Now, her other siblings have left the home, which is that they no longer live with their mother because of their mother's actions and her behavior. They move on, and they suggested that she move on as well. So she is, because of the manipulation, oh, you'll never amount to anything. No one will ever love you. You're not worth anything. No one, you'll never be able to pay your bills on your own. Now, mind you, she's the one that's carrying all the bills in the home and has been. But she's constantly telling her what she's not doing. You'll never be happy. You'll never have someone to love you. You're this and you're that.
She's broken down her self-esteem on purpose so that this will be the child that stays with her, because the other ones got hip to the game and left. So she's created this psychological tie where this the one who stays will not have enough self-esteem to leave.
Correct. It's master manipulation with a verbal assault of nature. That's what that is. So the young lady, she wants therapy now. She's like, I can't take this anymore. I have a child, and she says all this in front of my child.
You got to leave, sister. You got to leave. The child is damaged. That is your responsibility. Oh, yeah. Let me tell
you.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're absolutely, because that's why I told her. I said, that's it.
Yeah, if you can't do it for yourself, do it for your child. Yes.
I can't take it anymore. I said, well, you just need to be strengthened, so let's get you in some good, strong mental, core training deep down inside. Let's change this old programming of responding and get into another, response that is healthy. So when you deal with this person, instead of them getting all in your head, all in your heart, you're blocking them and you're making a plan to exit.
Make your exit plan. Now, in those situations, because, I mean, I have seen those situations where people will stay with an abusive parent out of guilt, and maybe the other siblings will have gone on, but the one who stays continues to absorb the emotionally damaging verbal abuse, and their guilt won't let them just put that elder in a home and move on with their life. How do you deal with that? Because I think at some point, the person who's verbally abusive, they have to learn the consequences of abusing people who are trying to care for you.
Yeah.
But yet the person who chooses to stay and absorb the abuse, I mean, they're being destroyed, but their programming is making them feel like it would be selfish and cruel for them to leave this person. Oh, they can't help themselves. Oh, they've always been like this. And yet they're absorbing behavior that's damaging them on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So how does a person get unstuck from that kind of psychological situation?
Well, now you got that can run into what they call caregiver guilt and shame and remorse.
Yeah.
The person that is the caregiver needs respite. Okay, they need to, respite is when you literally remove yourself out of the environment for a period of time so that you can make some conscious decisions, because that's what's preventing that person from, putting that person somewhere where they can be taken care of and not taking the blunt of the responsibility onto themselves. Now, if it's a situation with dementia or something of that nature and that person becomes hostile, that's when it really, the guilt-stricken mindset really sets in, because you're like, why I can't take mom or to the assisted living because I'm responsible for it. But then here comes all of that pressure and stress that you're dealing with. So you a person definitely has to have respite with that and advisory, which means whoever, if there's a case manager or a social worker, therapist, counselor, someone needs to advise, especially if it's physically affecting the caregiver.
Now, I've had an associate or acquaintance, someone who observed what was happening in their life. They're a fairly young woman, still childbearing age, but they had, a mother who had, certain levels, maybe it was dementia, maybe it was mental illness, or maybe just an awful personality. But she was very verbally abusive and controlling, and managed to, chase away all of her daughter's potential romantic partners. So the daughter never married. She's in her mid-30s now, going into the late 30s. Any relationship, boyfriend she had, somehow it got destroyed. The mother tore him down, whatever. Anyway, the daughter allowed this to happen. Again, other siblings, they went on with their lives. They left. They got married. They got children. They got lives. She's there, the caretaker for the mother. She never had a life that was fulfilling, in terms of a relationship and family and all of that. And now she's feeling like, okay, the clock is ticking.
Yes.
If I put my mother away so that I can live, then I got the guilt of, I've put her away. Because she's in her right mind. She's just an awful person. But, okay, if I leave, because her mother's very, extremely overweight, and so to the point of it being a disability. So if she left her, she would have to get some type of help or move into some kind of assisted living. And so she's sort of stuck in that caregiver guilt situation. How does a person in that situation that wants a relationship but knows as long as she's around her mother, it won't happen, and, the real reality of the biological clock, you're going on 37, and, if you're going to have a marriage and family, now you need to probably take that step, but she can't do it unless she leaves her mother. So what has to happen to undo guilt, feelings of responsibility, feelings like, oh, you're being selfish? She's a very angry young woman, but again, spewing it out at other people but not able to confront her mother.
Right. And most people actually, again, stay out of obligation and responsibility. Their mind, they feel they're obligated and responsible for another person's life. So, again, we ask the question, where is it written down? Is there a law that I have to be unhappy to make you happy? You see what I'm saying? So, we go back into those questions that, why am I allowing myself to stay in a place of misery when I know that I'm ready to move on? Why can't I just have someone else come in my home to take care of this individual? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's finances, sometimes it's family obligation. You might have a whole family, like a big family, but then only one steps up to the plate and says, no, I'll take care of mom.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'll take care of dad. And then you have some of them argue back and forth who's going to take care of whoever. But, at the same token, but this situation you're talking about is when that person then makes a decision to stay, despite manipulations or deceptions or any of those, they make that decision to stay, and they find themselves being very unhappy eventually.
Yeah. And I can see how the person in that kind of situation, in a sense, ends up programmed to accept a breadcrumbing kind of situation, because you've already allowed yourself to be treated as if your needs don't matter, and you've already, how is this happening? I don't know. I can't believe it. Oh. Lost a little bit of a signal here, but we will be right back. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll We'll be right back. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment. And 706-202, we're coming to you next. So stay with us.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Excellent topic that you're sharing, and good new day, Dr. Green. Epistemicide, I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's similar to menticide or genocide. Epistemicide, and what it is a way of giving and destroying culture. These were not our ways once upon a time, and these are learned behaviors. Epistemicide.
Epistemicide.
Okay. Right. And what it is how that knowledge and the culture of a people is being destroyed. And what we're seeing is that these cultures and patterns that are learned behaviors, like you're talking about the women and the children, these are learned behaviors and learned emotional responses to what this child came up in an environment. And so what we're looking at, we're calling it breadcrumbing, and we've given new names to it. The thing that we're looking at is the mental suicide that is happening to a people. And what we're having is a pattern of programming that has been successful in helping us not have the relationships that we should be having as we had once upon a time. So how do we see ourselves getting through? And I thank Dr. Green for, you know, counseling and giving guidance, and you for having Female Solutions. But we have to begin to look at how do we look at our children and directing them and being able to have them to have a healthy relationship with their parents, because parents become damaged and then they damage children. It's a pattern. And so what we are seeing is that there needs to be intervention into the child's life that we don't keep creating generations of these damaged children.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I'll certainly take a moment to promote an upcoming online parenting class called Parenting with Peace, and of course, our wonderful Dr. Debbie Green, along with our other sisters of the microphone, will be assisting in teaching parenting and assisting those who are guiding the lives in their care in a healthy way, because so many people are damaged when they have children, and they, like you just said, they damage the children. It becomes generational, and at some point, you have to stop and prepare people on how to raise an emotionally healthy child that is not damaged by that parent who is damaged themselves. And we have to stop. We have to end the cycle. And that means
Absolutely. That means
starting with this generation of parents, preparing them before they destroy the life that's in their care by helping them first heal themselves and then know how to properly guide someone into a healthy life. And so this is our goal with Parenting with Peace. So look for it. We'll be introducing it on our New Earth Homeschool Academy platform on Teachable, and that's our goal, to really end the cycle of pain.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this is really beneficial for our young youth to know, because when it's exposed to the parents, it's going to be exposed to the adolescents on what a healthy relationship should look like. It's not, you know, healthy relationships are based upon so many different factors, but at the same token, you know, one should be totally aware of their part that they play in someone else's life. You know, first you are an individual. You're an individual, and then you become a part of. Those are two different things. You know, if you ask a person who they are, you know, who are you? They say, oh, I'm my mother's daughter. I'm somebody on a job or a relationship. I'm this and that. You know, but very seldom do a person actually know who they are, you know, to remove the roles of society identities.
Yes.
Society identifies us, and when I say society, social identity, to be a part of a group such as your family, a group as work, a group of your peers or organization, or wherever you are a group of. But then you also are an individual. You can be a group actually with a partner, a spouse, married. That's still a part of. But until you realize that one has to lead one's life individually, you know, and even the babies in the womb, you can have four babies in one womb, they're all going to come out one time.
Yeah.
One time. One after the other. And they all have their own womb. So what does that mean?
Their own umbilical cord.
That's it.
Yeah.
You have your own life.
Yeah.
So when it comes to manipulations, deceptions, all these things, a lot of these individuals that are doing the manipulation has some lack in their lives when they were very young.
Mm.
You know, lack of nurture, lack of direction, lack of guidance, you know, lack of love, lack of attention.
Yeah.
So this is what they're used to doing. They were doing it for such a long time. They probably were manipulated even when they were children, to the point now that they're older adults. The same process.
And this might be the only kind of relationship that they know. They don't really have anything else other than, okay, this is what you do. You use people, and then you're done with them.
Yeah.
So that might be their pattern. So they're going to attract somebody who maybe has been programmed to be needy of confirmation of their worth, because of whatever has happened in their life. And so you see these two people attracting each other, the one who is willing to accept less than the best treatment because they've been programmed to accept, you know, the idea that they are less than worthy, maybe from some body who's verbally abused them and criticized them their whole lives.
Yes.
And you've got the manipulator, like you just described, somebody that this is how they've been taught. They've been using people.
Right.
And so, you know, when you have that combination, it just becomes a pattern. Now, I have a question because I see this pattern happen a lot. And I've even had men ask me this, believing that the way they perceive things is correct. And, you know, a young person, well, not really young, but in his 40s, asked, okay, what's up with these women? You know, you just want to maybe get together and, you know, maybe hang out sometime, have a good time, you know. And then she gets pregnant. You know, why is she thinking that it's fair that you should have to take care of a baby that you didn't plan on having? I mean, you just wanted to hang out, and next thing you know, she's pregnant, and then, you know, you stuck paying child support forever from somebody that, you know, it wasn't really about all that. You just, you know, she got herself pregnant. Oh, no, she didn't get herself pregnant. And, I mean, and the young man who presented that, it was a couple of young men. They were like, yeah, right, what's up with these women? Just, you know, thinking you're supposed to be taking care of these babies that you didn't want. I'm like, you're thinking that your way of thinking is correct, and it's the women's fault because you didn't intend to be with them that long. You just wanted maybe a good time for a little while, and why are they trapping you like this? That's your thought, and your relationships have been the breadcrumbers. You know, okay, I'm gonna use you for whatever I can until I'm tired of you, and then I'm ready to move on. But then you stuck me with a baby. Oh no! And we have a lot of children that are raised in that kind of environment. Well, that was the relationship of their parents, where they've known all their lives that they were not really intended to be here.
Right.
And that has a certain psychological impact. You know, you weren't wanted. You just happened. And so, and then, you know, your father, he's mad because he didn't want me to have you. I chose to have you, and now you're getting on my nerves. So you got a child that's all around being made to feel unwanted, undesired, mistaken. What kind of emotional stability can you have with that foundation? Like Baba Kwame's saying, you know, generational pain. We keep doing this to
yes.
our next generation.
Right. Same thing. You're going to continue to care. That person is going to continue to respond and react to it the same way because it's a trained, innate ability to see. Because, like I said, children learn from osmosis. They learn from the video or the recording automatically in the brain. So they're just responding to whatever it is. So as they get older, if they don't realize that response is faulty, you know, they continue to do the same things and pass it on to their children.
Yeah.
So the only, again, someone has to have the light and come out the darkness, okay, in order to change anything and break a cycle. Because, again, some cycles, mentally people are aware, and some of them, they don't have a clue. They're just repeating the same thing, and they've been doing it for years and years and years. It's called generational curses.
Generational curses. Now, I'm thinking of also, I've got I got all these friends with problems. terrible, I'm just getting them this free therapy with Dr. Debbie, but really, y'all need to call her, because you need more than a two-hour radio TV session.
Yeah.
You know you need help when your life is a mess, so you need to follow up with some serious therapy. But this associate, she's had enough breadcrumbing experiences where she's like, I'm not letting this happen to me again. So very first date, she's like, okay, where are we going with this? And you know, what are your plans? Did you believe in marriage? You want, you know, I mean, she's just like, she's got a list of questions like a job interview almost to just dismiss anybody who's not sure that they are striving for starting a family with children and all that. because she's been strung along too many times and heartbroken too many times. And one particular date she happened to go on was a friend of mine who I had a chance to hear it from his point of view, and he said, man, she ran me away from her. I will never call her again. She wanted me to propose right then. We just went on one date, you know. And so I understand her overreaction. But then is there a way that a person, especially if early on they get signs that, okay, this might be somebody that's not really quite serious. You know, we went out and then I didn't hear from him for 3 days and he didn't answer my text and, you know, do I need to jump on it right now? Okay, what's your intention? Or, you know, what's an appropriate amount of time before you begin to see a pattern of, well, maybe they're not quite into me. Maybe I shouldn't be investing my emotions in this person. Or, you know, maybe they really are just really busy, got a demanding job, you know, couldn't return my calls. You know, what is a balanced way of seeing it so that you don't seem like you're jumping at them first thing that they don't call you back? You know, what are we dating or what? What is this, you know, and making them feel like, oh, wait a minute, now, I don't know you that well. Yeah, you want me to make all this commitment? You know, or, you know, if you've got a pattern of this kind of breadcrumbing behavior where you call at, or text or whatever, send you know, email messages or whatever, and by the time they get back to you, they got a long list of things. Oh, I had to do this, I had to do that, or I'm sorry I didn't call you back, I didn't have, you know, and you're getting this I'm too busy for you kind of response. Do you look at it as, oh, okay, this is a person has a very demanding job. You know, if I'm going to be involved in them, I need to accept that. Or are you getting, oh, wait a minute, they're stringing me along. Maybe I'm expecting too much. You know, how does a person balance those two emotions?
You see all that you just went through? You asked me so many questions in one question. I'm like, which one do you want me to answer?
How do you?
But you're right, though. You know, you said this is what people go through in their mind.
Yeah.
That's what you just said. Maybe it's this and maybe it's that. Maybe it's this and maybe it's that. So the time then lapses over and over again because time just goes on. A healthy relationship is consistent.
Mm.
If there's not enough consistency, whether it's going to be consistent dysfunctional or functional. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at least if it's dysfunctional, you'll know, oh, this ain't healthy because it's dysfunctional. Mm. You should know if you know the difference between a dysfunctional
and a
relationship and a functional relationship. Some people feel people got to go back and forth and argue for everybody to be happy. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's in their mind. I'm just used to caring people do a lot of drama.
Yeah.
Okay? That's how you lead your relationship. But then here comes another person, they ain't used to that.
Mm.
They're not used to that going back and forth and 1 minute this and 1 minute you're doing that. And then, you know, you meet a person for the first week, you know, the first week, right? And then you're getting to know this person and they're telling you, oh, I want you to be this and I want you to be that. I want you to be in my life for long term. You don't even know me.
Yeah.
You don't know me. You want me for your wife. You want me to be in your life. You want to do this.
You
don't even know me. You don't know me for a can of paint. Okay, so let's go fast forward. All right, so that person stays in a relationship for a period of time. So this person is, you know, still talking. Lots of talk, but not a whole lot of action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So your actions don't speak louder than your words, then that's the issue. That's the issue because there's no consistency. There's no committal. You see what I'm saying? And you don't expect somebody to commit to you the first in the honeymoon stage.
Right.
Meet and greet stage usually lasts for like 2 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks, meet and greet. Oh, hello, how you doing? You know, how was your day? What we have in common, blah, blah, blah. All right? And then after that two, 3 weeks, some people now, believe me, people don't do it like this in reality. Most people do it in days. Okay? Okay, let's meet up, let's go out to eat, let's do this. And if it's a sexual chemistry attraction, they just run. want to be loved. You want to be admired. You want to, something inside of you needs something from the outside world. Okay? Something you is lacking. And so it moves and it does, it, you know, you give up your life, you give up your soul just to see if you get a small smidgen of what it is that you think you want.
Wow.
You think you're missing. So a lot of times people put themselves in a situational relationship. That's what it is, situational ship, because that's what it is. And you can't get angry at the person that's manipulating you because after a while, you just in it to win. That's that. You in it. And then you get remorseful. You get really sad because when the light does come on in your mind that you realize that, oh, my God, I am being used. Now you think you are the worst person. You may blame yourself or you may blame the other person or both.
Yes.
So it is a really unhealthy way of living. People can be very cruel,
yes.
You know, and unknowingly.
Like it's a game.
Some of them, yeah, some of them just know, well, you know, you're going to be that gullible and stupid. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, and they feel no remorse, yeah. We got to take one last break, and then we got a couple of callers on the line. And thank you, Baba Kwame, for your input. We appreciate you. And we will be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you've got a comment or question, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 so we can open your mic and get your thoughts as it relates to this topic on breadcrumbing in relationships, stringing the person along that you're not really serious about, and having them frustrated, believing that you're building a relationship and you're not. So we will be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Solutions. My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latifa, Executive Director of the Female Solution. Can we take those callers,
please? All right. So I'm taking this order, 773-450, and then 773-809. And everybody else on our switchboard, please press 1 now so that we know you have something to say. We can make sure we have enough time to speak before we have to go. And while we're pressing 1, oh, we got a message from our Facebook watchers. Our dear sister Zelda says, Grand Rising, my beautiful queen, sisters. Wow, so many people living like this. Hope who needs it will hear and move forward. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, a lot of people living like this. A lot of people in relationships that they keep hoping will happen that don't. It's very painful. 773-450, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Grand Rising.
There you go.
Good morning, everyone.
Yes.
I always say, y'all morning. Y'all morning. So, get
yes.
all of this one, Naima. First of all, I always go back to tradition because tradition teaches you everything you learn. First of all, what are people getting involved in these relationships so young? You know, when it's like this boyfriend, girlfriend, you got to have a mate mentality. Look at what they show on television. Then you got friends. Oh, you don't have a boyfriend yet? Well, fortunately, personally, I never didn't even delve into sexuality till I got 19 years old. But most of my male friends I grew up with had already impregnated someone, some girl at 13, 14. There was abortions and all this stuff going on. But where did it come from? The young guys are being taught sexuality, work below the waist. Every time you see a woman move. But the reality of that is that it doesn't really work. The old guys are telling me, well, you know, if you want the girl, tell her anything she wants to hear to get what you want. And how many children were born that way? And then you're 13 or 14, you impregnate somebody, even at 15, 16, or 17. What do you know about yourself that you can take care of any children? You don't even know who you are. So it's the beginning of knowing anything, having any relationship starts with you learning who you are inside until you actually get so deep you reach the chi. Once you get that, you're connected to everybody. And instead of this mentality, oh, I got my girlfriend, now help everybody that you know. If you have the ability and the knowledge and the wisdom and the overstanding, you can help anyone. Every day I meet new people and strangers, and I'm able to assist them just because I know who I am. So some type of way, men need to change that dynamic. Manhood is mastery over the mind, not getting a woman in bed on her back. That's not the answer. As a matter of fact, you need to stop and think about that before you even begin that, because even if you do get her in bed, it's going to take getting out of bed, working to take care of that child for the rest of his life or her life. And nobody's prepared. So they end up leaving the responsibility on some parents or somebody else to take care of these children. And in the meantime, how does a child feel when they're not wanted? I had one friend, she was a botched abortion. And she's still living. She said her mom was getting rid of her, but she lived. So she had some issues because her mama had tried to abort her. But how do you feel growing up being a botched abortion? She didn't feel good about that. She was smart and intelligent and beautiful. But that's not the point. It's just that how can you grow up thinking, my mom wanted to get rid of me, but they didn't do it. So society teaching abortions is okay, and all of this sexuality way over the top, they need to slow that down. Because in reality, sexuality is just one part. Physical intimacy is only one part of the whole. I mean, a little bitty basket compared to all other things that you have in life. So stop looking at TV, listening to society and traditional crap, and start anew so that we can have a new relationship with each other and know the value of each other. Don't be so hurried to get into these relationships that don't turn out nothing but children that have parents that are separated from each other, never should have even been together because they have nothing in common. Wow. So lastly, all I got to say is this. If we learn to find out who we are, then we would connect with the people that we would connect with people and then do a greater work together, because we could put our talents and gifts together. I'm going to leave you all with this. Always say this. If we took 100 black men and 100 black women, we take $100 a week out of each one of us putting it together. Do you know in a year we'd have $1 million? But the bigger part is, what could you do with 200 gifts and talents combined? You could probably change the world. Hallelujah. Thank y'all.
That's our goal. Thank you so much, brother. We appreciate it. And what he has said is one of the motivational factors that went into creating the Parenting with Peace course. We have to change what we're teaching. And the outcome of what we have failed to teach is what we're experiencing now. A whole lot of people who hate themselves because of the way they were born and raised to believe that they were not intended to be here. The parents who had them were not prepared to parent. And so all that self-hatred is now being spewed out upon the world, spewed out upon the society in which they live, making everyone's life fearful and dangerous. And what we're experiencing is the hurt that we put into the children that we did not intend to have because our relationships were all about the selfishness of how I can use someone.
Yes.
This is the outcome. So now that we know what this kind of behavior produces, we can choose to do something else.
Absolutely. And again, if that person that is being used doesn't know how to deal with conflict, and they're very vulnerable due to upbringings and different situations that's beyond their control as they was raised in their homes and what have you, then they're not strong enough to deal with adversity.
Right.
You know, and they become weakened emotionally, mentally, you know, to the point where we've seen people commit suicide because they felt that someone did not love them.
Many suicides come from, as a matter of fact, and I'm sure you've got the statistics because, you know, you are working with youth all the time. After a breakup, especially with a young person, that's the rise in suicide because they can't handle the rejection because they're already wounded from being raised in an environment where they were made to feel unwanted. So now this person who they latched onto is saying, well, no, I don't want to anymore. They're devastated. And next thing you know, they take their own life. They don't know at 14, 15, 16 that this is not the end of the world. You know, for them it is because they don't have a vision of the greater things they're going to go on in life and do. All they know is right now, this person who I loved and gave my heart to just dumped me. I feel like nothing. I don't want to live. This pain is too much. And next thing you know, they've killed themselves. So this is real. You know, playing people's emotions. People do die from a broken heart. So you do not want to raise that heartbreaker. Oh, he's got all these girls chasing after him. Oh, that, no. What are you teaching him? How are you teaching him to treat people? Why would you want to do that? Let me take this next caller, air code 779-801. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Greg Rising, this is Maika. How are you all today?
Hey, Maika, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I wanted to say that it appears, you know, what I've noticed in life is that we're given scripts to follow, you know, and these scripts are incomplete, and they don't really meet the needs of the people. So we need to write new scripts to hand out. Like there's a script that fathers need to have in relationship to communicating with their daughters about what a man is and what a man expects and how to relate to a man. There's a script that a mother needs to have to express to her son who women are, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a script that young people need to have that they can communicate with each other. Right now they don't have a communication because there are too many conversations that are not had because we don't realize that there's something beyond sex and money. I recently met a young woman who has her head on straight. She was telling me how men meet her and ask her, say, you got a boyfriend, you got a man? And at the time, she doesn't. They'll say, well, are you a lesbian then? you know? So automatically, if she's not got a man in her life, she's supposed to be a lesbian. So now there's a label. And she was telling me that what young women vie for now is they don't vie to be a wife or a girlfriend even. They vie to be a baby mama. That's the title that they want with a man. I'm his baby mama. And that's all they're looking to be at this point. And I thought that was really like, oh, that is a script. That's an incomplete script. And so, you know, children are a blessing from God. And they can be your lifesaver later on in life. You don't know who those children are going to be. And we don't value them, and we're not preparing them to be all that they can be. And it's time that we begin to look at how we can improve our lives by helping children to understand that there's more to relationships than sex and money. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Maika. That
Thank
is
you
it.
So mm-hmm. much.
You know, when a culture is dysfunctional and it becomes widespread, it becomes normalized. And so the broken family syndrome where two people get together, they have a romantic interlude, there's a baby, that has now become the norm. And so now we start adjusting to that. And when you, and like our callers have said, when you don't teach people what a healthy relationship looks like, they don't know. They just know they have a need to be loved. They have a desire. And you know, both males and females have a desire for intimacy. A lot of men don't know what it is that they want. They want self-esteem, you know, they want acceptance. Older men teach them how to be admired and accepted by other men is how, you know, learn the game of manipulation of women. So that becomes the standard that they have because they don't have anything else taught to them. Women know that they desire and want love, but then they have been conditioned to accept having a romantic partner, and then you have a child by them, and then you have a child, so you have a tie to that person, but you haven't formed a family. So you have dysfunctional people having children, and they can't guide children on what a loving relationship looks like because they didn't have one. So now what are the children supposed to know about love? They just know they want that feeling that humans want to have, love, acceptance, but they don't know what a healthy relationship feels like. And they all they have is the examples of dysfunctional mothers and fathers who themselves didn't know what a relationship, a healthy relationship feels like. So this is why we got to pause and create. Create a means of teaching because it isn't there. We can't be angry at people because they don't know. Because they don't know, and they don't know they don't know. We must teach, lovingly, compassionately teach, so that people
can learn and
begin to evolve and change.
I think that's so very, very important to help people acknowledge habits and behaviors and actions that are not productive towards life. Again, because most people are human doings. They're not human beings.
Right.
Human beings is when you are totally aware of yourself as an independent, you know, human that's walking this earth, and you make your choices not based upon what someone says or what someone does, but make it, you know, for the best of you. And you know, we take in what we need of the world, but at the same token, we can't be of the world. You know, you take what you need, you filter it out. You know, just like the flowers filtered in a you know, a filtering process, you know, removing all of the stuff that is not productive, and then you allow those things to teach you and to nurture you and to fulfill you so that you can continue this thing called life. Because life is full of different twists and turns, but most of all, it's full of inquisitive, creative natures. And, you know, we just want to be innovative. We want something new. You know, to stay with the same thing all the time, doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result, well, we know that's insane. comes from dysfunction. It can come from your home, where you grew up at. It can come from a relationship that you, or the way you even feel about yourself. It's so many identities, you know what I'm saying, that we, you know, the self has many. Don't you know that every time you talk to someone, you know what I'm saying, you change identity to talk to that person? When you die, you would not talk to that person the same if that was your mother or your sister,
right,
or a friend.
Right.
Everyone has to have a different type of you.
Yes.
So if you're using the same type with everybody else, you will clash.
Right.
Because you cannot use the same mindset with everyone else. Because some people, are, you know, they don't understand that mindset because it's not supposed to be used to them.
Right.
You know, it's, like I said, it's two things to care about and to care for. You care for someone who cannot cleanse themselves, dress themselves, bathe themselves, feed themselves. That's caring for.
Yeah.
You care about someone that can. That they, you allow them to do everything they need to do for themselves.
Yeah.
But again, because this subject is of a high nature, of manipulation, you know what I'm saying? Be careful what you allow to control your life.
Yes.
That's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
If it don't feel good, it ain't good.
If it don't feel good, it ain't good. Yeah.
It ain't good.
Yeah, I think we've got another caller on the line. 407 701 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts regarding breadcrumbing.
Oh, my goodness. Sisters, this is Beata. I got one more day here in the beautiful city of Lakeland, following trucks around, cleaning up from Hurricane Ian. And I realized after the last 2 or 3 weeks of observing social media and the events going on around this neighborhood even, that people's words are what they get in trouble with. The words coming out of some people's mouths just blows my mind. And then karma is instant lately. I had this morning, I was in the hood this morning briefly, and this woman proceeds to curse out the truck driver who's trying to get the debris out of the neighborhood. And because she couldn't get past him, she curses him out. You F and B. I'm like, what the? And she just was so impatient, so rude. And instantly, the truck driver's owner called him and said, you need to go to Sarasota, so get your ticket and get out of there. So the whole neighborhood got cursed because of her mouth. Because he could not finish cleaning up the neighborhood, because it was like right after her foul mouth, his boss called him, said, no, you need to leave right away and go to Sarasota. They got more work, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wow, that was quick. So tomorrow... I am just moved to just talk about the power of words to kill or heal. And I'm going to have several news items to show the power of words to heal if you believe them or not.
That is true. What you say and how you say it can hurt or heal. And that's something that has to be taught, because if you have people that have been cussed out their whole lives, this is how they've learned how to relate. Like Dr. Debbie was just saying,
right,
you can't use that same attitude with everybody, and if you're one of those cuss out everybody people, that means you don't have any empathy for those who need more tenderness, more kindness. So we're looking forward to tomorrow's conversation, and we thank you so much for weighing in today. And
we'll
be there to be online with you while you're driving the car behind the truck.
Yeah, my last day. Woo-hoo. I love this job, but I don't like the commute. I can't do this hour commute anymore. And I'm staying at Airbnb tonight for 3 nights, but I had to pay $35. I got a real good deal, but nah, I need my grandchildren's energy about now.
Children do
renew
your energy. Yes. Well, all right. Well, be safe. All right.
Thank
we'll
you for a great show.
Thank you so much for a great chiming in. You know, that really makes me think, as we wrap up, that really makes me think about how to approach people that have hurt you in a relationship. And I think when you're hurt and angry, the tendency is to curse them out because they've hurt you. But I think there's a way you can even address what you may feel with maybe their deceptiveness or lack of sensitivity, in a way that helps them to think and not just get defensive and holler back. So you were saying, what are some ways we can, how we can address that and deal with it, keeping calm and keeping our dignity, but also addressing what's being done to us in a relationship?
Well, your self-control is everything. Also, your self-discipline, Naima. If one doesn't have self-control and self-discipline, then it's no longer in control of self, and it doesn't have boundaries and limits. So the goal is to always self-monitor and have self-regulation. So when, and that's not a perfect life. You know, some people say, well, do I have to live a perfect life? Like, no, you don't. It's no such thing as living a perfect life. You know, we all make mistakes. We all make errors. We all get in relationships that may not be the healthiest for us. Okay, it is what it is. All right, chop it up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The goal is to keep going. To keep going, not self-defeat or think you're the worst person in the world because you ran into a relationship that wasn't healthy. You know? I mean, it's a normal thing. Now, if you constantly do this and you've been doing this for years, then you really need to do a self-read. You need to really look with a microscopic lens to yourself and ask yourself, why am I focused? Why haven't these things come to me? Or why am I selecting these type of people that's coming to me in my life? You know, what is missing out of my life? What is missing out of me that I feel I need to fulfill? Not so much what's coming to you, but what's missing.
Mm.
And give yourself that what you need. If it's more love, give yourself
more love. Ah, that's the magic key. Yes. Give yourself more love. All right.
Thank you so much. Join me next week for another exciting episode of
Soulful Solutions.
Dr.
Debbie Green. And we will see you next week.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.